This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, 28th of June, 2021. A new week threatens or dawns, or however you want to say it, a glass half full, glass half empty. It seems for equities very much half full. If we look at how we closed up last week, we'll get to that in a moment. First off, we need to do a little advertising here for some upcoming webinars. Peter, you have one here tomorrow already this week, your monthly equity update. Any themes you want to talk about that you'll be covering tomorrow?
It will just be a standard update. So we'll look at the different themes that have performed and sort of what is the outlook for the for the next month and what the market is sort of looking at. But it's very quiet equity markets, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So it will not be very sophisticated this time around. It's just ordinary equity update.
Wow. Generating some serious enthusiasm there. We can feel the, energy coursing through the studio here. And we also have up on Thursday our quarterly outlook. Q3, we'll have that for you. I think some very interesting themes coming up.
That's exciting.
Despite the low energy in the equity market, we can all sense here in the studio, there is a lot of questions, I think, hanging over this market as we head into Q3. The whole sort of rush of stimulus, transitory inflation, all these narratives and how this is going to sort out. So green transformation, et cetera. That's a very good, I think it's a great quarterly report we've put together. And we'll hopefully have some good thoughts for you. You can sign up for those on webinars.saxo. If you get confused with that, as some people do, when you're putting that in the in your address bar, you can always just Google it and you can find the right link there. It's a longer URL, et cetera. All right. The action, as we closed up last week, we saw posted a new high in the broader market in the U.S. And the thing we've been talking about a lot lately is the degree to which we've seen a comeback in the so-called bubble stocks, the more speculative stocks here. And this despite the FOMC supposedly moving towards a more normalizing or attempting to begin sending out signals that it's going to be normalizing its policy at some point in the future. And I put a little inset there. You've used your bubble stocks portfolio, Peter, on Bloomberg. And you can see it's already come back to a major level from a couple months ago. It just feels like, and with the VIX settling here, I think it closed on Friday right near the lowest daily close of the cycle. It just feels like, sort of reflecting your lack of massive enthusiasm here, just the sort of the complacency means that a lot of this stuff creeps back in and we get a lot of upside and also the riskiest equities.
Yeah, exactly. That is what we're seeing. And then I've called it the comeback month for ARK Invest, because ARK Invest is probably the most famous of all growth funds out there. And it's highly correlated with our next gen medicine and bubble stocks basket. You can see this on slide 4. Those two baskets are the best performing this month, a massive comeback. And so that is the big story. Interest rate has settled in the US along end of the curve, the 10 year around 1.5%. As you said, the VIX is coming down. Some of the preliminary earnings releases we have got over the past month suggest for now that the rising input cost is still not, I'll talk about that later in the podcast, but it's still not biting the companies yet on their profit margins, because on the flip side, a lot of companies have eaten through the inventories, so they have much more leaner inventories and they stopped doing the promotions. So there are some counter effects there. So maybe the real inflation and rising input costs won't kick into to hitting earnings until in Q3. So the Q2 earnings season, which starts in 2 weeks, I think will continue to add juice to this market, especially if we stay in this low volatility environment.
All right. Well, adding juice to the market. I don't want to talk too much about FX, because we spent all of last week sort of still digesting that FOMC move, but we've seen still some pretty good follow through in energy, which is a key component of this whole narrative around inflation, of course. So what's going on there? We've got a massive event risk coming up this week, don't we?
We have indeed. And but as you can see on slide 7 here, we've been in a very, very strong upward market for many months, but especially so far this year. But as you say, on Thursday, OPEC Plus meet virtually once again to decide the production levels for August and onwards. Given the current estimates for supply and demand, they could easily add 1 million barrels a day. They're probably not going to do that. Surveys are pointing towards 500,000 barrels, so they are in doing that, they are both signaling that they would like to obviously to support the price, but also some uncertainty still related to Iran nuclear negotiations. There are a few pockets of this new Delta virus that is Delta variant, which is having an impact on the various economies. And so I think they're just playing it from the cautious side. And if the result of that is even higher prices, they seem to be happy. Well, they are happy about that because for now, at least, we're not seeing any response from competitors like in the US. So just put in a small slide there, a small chart just showing OPEC 10 and OPEC Plus. OPEC 10 is the group that is currently on the quotas. So you can see there's still quite a bit of a distance before they come back to where they were.
All right. And then on FX, as indicated, the action all last week, still about digesting the big FOMC move the week before. So if you can see that on slide 5, the Eurodollar, of course, that sharp sell-off. And then last week's defining resistance ahead of 120. And when you look at that chart, your eye is just begging for it to complete this sort of head and shoulders type formation. You can see there with the red line showing the sloping neckline. It's not necessarily what's going to happen, but that's what the outlook is, unless we see a sharp reversal back below above something like 121. You can see on the trend readings on the right for the FX board for the various individual G10 plus currencies that we're just seeing fading numbers there. And these, you know, these readings below one are just, you know, basically non-existent trends. And even the dollar move is you know, weakened down to 3.2 because of this consolidation move. And in something like the yen, we've just sort of seen a neutralization. There was a big rally in the yen, and then it kind of, that one more or less petered out in general last week. And I have a couple more thoughts on the yen in a moment.
And just highlighting on the Eurodollar and the dollar in general, John, we just saw the weekly cut report out on Friday. It covered the week up until June 22nd. So basically including the aftermath of the FOMC response, especially in dollar, which rallied. And what happened that week was basically the dollar short was reduced by one third. So indicating that we have not done enough damage on the chart, I would say, to really trigger some major reversal in the long-term thoughts, but at least down by one third. So this week probably not going to be much of a change because we've been
a lot of speculative chips taken off the table in the U.S. futures market that were positioned short in the currency. And then just briefly on dollar yen, and I've got this in our upcoming quarterly outlook as well, this theme of real yield spreads. So of course those real yields in the U.S. are very negative when you have a CPI print of 5%. And I have what the 10-year yields versus CPI and that spread versus Japan as well on slide 6. So that's the blue line there. You're seeing that's the black line there showing the spread of U.S. real yields versus the spread of Japanese real yields. So the CPI, relative to the 10-year yield. And you can see that this is, you know, more or less described in rough fashion, the direction in dollar yen as well. And until recently, when this dollar yen has rallied a bit on a slight pickup in nominal yields this year in the U.S. But I think this real yield story is very important. I think people are neglecting this story in the longer term. If, and this is the big if, and this is what we're going to have to settle in the months ahead, inflation proves not to be transitory. And that is the big question here. But rounding out your COT thoughts, so the COT report being this weekly positioning in the U.S. futures market and where you can kind of withdraw some signals on occasion. You've got some more charts here on slide 8.
Indeed. And what was the big outcome in the commodity space of that FOMC hawkish meeting, which, as we mentioned, sent the dollar higher and inflation expectations lower, was really quite a bit of a sellout in the metal space. We saw big reactions price-wise in gold and silver just after that June 16 meeting. And it's also reflected in the how speculators have positioned themselves. So you can see here that the gold is an example. The net long was down 33%, the net long in silver down 38%. So a lot of fading optimism in that space. And that basically means that we need to still keep a very close eye on the dollar, I would say. As Peter mentioned, yields are pretty stable right now. So dollar is the key there. So in gold, if I think any potential buyers out there, probably not any rush, we need to break, I would say, at least 18.20 to the upside to attract any renewed short covering.
All right. And then, Peter, you've got some thoughts on import prices from Germany here. I've got actually a couple of notes on German inflation as well. But what are you trying to show us here on slide 9?
Well, let's see whether I can pump some energy into this discussion when I, of course, I failed on the first slide. I think this is very interesting because once in a while we pull in South Korea, both as an economy but also as an equity market. It's not one of the most discussed ones, but the KOSPI 200 is an interesting one because the South Korean economy is very high beta and high sensitive to the economic growth cycle. They have very heavy industries from shipbuilding, you know, they have TV sets, smartphone manufacturing, car manufacturing, everything. So if the world goes around, it goes around because of South Korea. And the last time we had an inflation cycle in starting in late 2015, running well into the early 2018 was correlated with a strengthening KOSPI 200 and rapidly improving South Korean economy. And then, you know, the more deflationary period we have had for a couple of years leading into the pandemic, we had South Korean on the backseat. But now recently, so that from early November last year until January, you had a massive spike there in South Korea responding to that vaccination and, you know, improved outlook for the economy. And within a range trade on Friday, we broke out new all-time high on the close for the KOSPI 200. And Germany, which is out with their import prices, this morning, is getting a lot of its input from Asia. So there's a little bit of a connection here. And I think it's just fascinating to see Germany hitting import price in year and year. And this is actually for May, if I'm correct here. Maybe it's June, actually.
No, it should be. Well, they're up with their flash June CPI readings this week.
Yes.
But the May reading should already be reflected on that chart.
Exactly. So, but some of the base effects are actually already out because I looked at the Germany's import prices and they were actually very quickly snapping back after we hit the lows last year. So, and you're looking at levels we haven't seen since the early 1980s, and it's confirming a lot of other indicators. So this is another of those indicators where you say, okay, can it really be that transitory? But as you said, John, that's what we're going to find out.
And just the calculation this morning, I was looking at the so tomorrow you have the June flash CPI estimates. There's not one on the economic calendar for the core Germany. There is one for EU core, which is the following day. But for the German headline inflation, if you take just the first 6 months of this year and do month on month, and then annualize that, you've got German inflation running at 7% annualized at the headline, and a policy rate of minus 0.5%. So if that's not a negative real yield, I'm not sure what is. And we'll get to actually more on the calendar in a moment, but I don't want to stop your discussion here because we do have earnings. Well, I would say they're picking up, but I guess they're picking up a little bit ahead of the muddle load in a couple of weeks.
I'm still in shock over that German inflation number you just mentioned there.
I'll have to double check it, but if I didn't mess up, it's basically a 7% annualized on the headline.
I'm sure you got it right. But in terms of earnings this week, it's very quiet. But we have one on the watch here. So Micron Technology on Wednesday and H&M on Thursday. On Micron Technology, it's one of the world's largest makers of computer memory chips and data storage. They have done pretty well during the pandemic. There's a huge demand for semiconductors. They sit in that space. Their angle is a little bit different than some of the other parts of the semiconductor, but nevertheless, their storage and memory chips are extremely important for the overall industry. So very curious to see what their outlook is. And then on Thursday, H&M, and I think this Nike earnings release we had last week, I think is I think reflect that a lot of positive things are happening now for the retailers. You had Adidas, you had other retailers responding very positively to Nike's result. I think in general, as I said, you know, inventories have become more lean. They've been reduced due to promotions, and I think the same goes for H&M and a lot of, especially H&M and Inditex and some of these other more traditional retailers. They really reliant on their physical stores, and we are in this part of the world in the summer months. So despite the Delta variant and other things happening on COVID-19, things are progressing and opening up a little bit more. So we'll see on Thursday how H&M stacks up and what their outlook is, basically.
Yeah. And we'll also see something this week that's not on the calendar, but should be in a way. And that is, we're going into quarter end here. And we did see a reasonable little pickup in U.S. yields on Friday, a little bit too modest to make a big fuss about it. But given that there's all this discussion about the Treasury market and to what degree it's being affected by all these liquidity issues in the U.S., the Treasury drawing down its general account, the significant institutions trying to reduce their balance sheets into quarter end, et cetera, and the spiking reverse repo facility, it just could be interesting. And then suddenly U.S. yields become a big deal if they start to spike. So just keep your eye on that as we head into a new month. But as mentioned, some pretty interesting data points coming up this week in Europe with the inflation data. So as mentioned, Germany tomorrow and the EU on Wednesday. Just to briefly recap, we had a PCE core on Friday out of the US at 0.5% month on month. That was very slightly below the 0.6% expected. So you're seeing that, you know, okay, the inflation levels are coming off. But just for perspective, to get to the FOMC's projected 3% for the core for 2021, we would need to see monthly readings of 0.15% on average for the remainder of this year. So a pretty bold bet that they're that these inflation levels are going to drop. Now, more specifically for today, we have a whole bunch of Fed speakers, and there are too many ECB speakers to count, so I just put one of them up there, but just be aware there are a lot of ECB folks out speaking today. I would look at the Barkin comments as perhaps the most interesting because he's speaking specifically on inflation risks. We have an RBNZ Governor Orr out speaking with, I think it's called a statement of intent, so talking about how the bank sees policy and the economy shaping up for the next couple of years. So there could be some interesting signals there. And the highlight of the week really is the U.S. Payrolls data, both the Wednesday ADP private one and then the official one on Friday, to see if there's any new narrative developing around huge demand for jobs, but maybe not payrolls not growing fast enough because the hiring paces are slow. And then, of course, the earnings becomes very interesting as well for any signs of wage inflation. That is a wrap for today. And we'll be back, of course, tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.